giving thanks. Keep on giving thanks. Or subtitle, you can say, keep on thanking the Lord. Keep on giving thanks, or keep on thanking the Lord. You may be seated. Father, I pray that indeed that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep on giving thanks, or keep on thanking our Lord. Keep on thanking the Lord. Keep on giving thanks. You know, after we've eaten the last little bit of leftovers from Thanksgiving Day meal, and for some of you, as you begin to put up your Christmas decorations, and for others, as you begin to do your Christmas shopping, I just wanted to remind all of us that we need to keep on giving thanks. We need to keep on giving thanks to our God. We don't just do it one day out of the year, right? We need to do it daily. For the Christian, for the worshiper of God, for the disciple and authentic follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, thanking God should be a daily activity. Let me say that again. For the genuine follower of Christ, thanking God should be a daily activity. So I just want to remind us sermonically and from the Bible this morning that we should keep on giving thanks. Now, all of us are probably guilty of not thanking God like we ought to thank him. Skirt, rewind. Let me say that one more time. All of us are probably guilty of not thanking God as we ought to. Am I right about it? So Paul, he writes this letter to the church at Philippi, this letter to the church here at Love Fellowship this morning, to kind of remind them to be joyful and to remind them to keep on giving thanks. Listen, he said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he says, God has begun a good work in you and he will complete it. That's a reason to thank him right there. That he's begun a good work in us and he's going to complete it. Paul reminds them and reminds us, mother more, in Philippians chapter 2, he reminds us that Christ himself, God himself, wrapped himself up in human flesh and became a person walking this earth, all God, yet all man. And Christ himself humbled himself to death, even death on the cross. He died for your sins and my sins. And Paul reminds us that one day every knee is going to have to bow and every tongue is going to have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I submit to you this morning, saints, you ought to be bound and thanking him even this morning that he is Lord. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're reminded in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13 that we are to work out our soul salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in us, both to will and to do for his good purposes. Oh, that's reason to thank him right there. That he's still working on me. He's still working on you. We're still on a potter's wheel. We're clay in his hand. He's molding us into what he would have us to be. He's pruning us. Jesus said it this way. He said, my father is a master vine dresser. He prunes us. He cuts on us. That's a reason to be thankful right there. That God is still working on me, still working on you. He, you know, as the season saying, you say, I might not be who I ought to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. He's still working on me. He's still working on you. That's the reason to give him thanks right there. To God, you're still working on me. You haven't given up on me yet. Even though I might have blown it yesterday, you still, matter of fact, Lamentations 3, I got some new mercies this morning. He's still working on us. That's a reason to give him thanks. That he's still working on us. Philippians 3, he tells us, he says, press on. He said, this is the goal. Press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in God, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We can be thankful that God gives us the strength to keep on pressing on. I'm glad when I got saved back in August of 92, Deacon Beasley, God said, well, just make it the best way you can. Now he's been giving me strength ever since then. He's given me the strength to keep on pressing on, forgetting those things that lie behind. Press on toward the Lord. Anybody here this morning? Keep on giving thanks. Keep on giving thanks to our Lord. And then in verse 1 of Philippians 4, as I get to my text, we're told to stand fast in the Lord. You and I can stand fast. You and I can stand firm because we are in the Lord. We know we're going to make it to the finish line, Brother Chris, because we are in the Lord. That's reason enough to give thanks right there. I said that's reason enough to give thanks right there. I know I'm going to persevere until the end because Christ himself, the Holy Spirit himself, is inside of me. Then in verse 2 of Philippians 4, Paul tells these two ladies in the Philippian church, obviously there was a little tension between these two sisters in the church, and Paul said, y'all be of the same mind in the Lord. Paul stresses the importance of unity in the body of Christ, unity in the church. How many of y'all know that unity is very important in the body of Christ? Unity is very important in the church. I said, unity is very important in the church. You know, we're going to have our differences and disagreements, but at the end of the day, if we're in Christ, we got to walk together. Paul reminds them of that in verse 2, and then he hits it in verse 3, and I'm really looking at the latter part of verse 3, and I want to give you just a few reasons from verses 3 through 7 why we need to keep on giving thanks. Just right out of this text. There are many other reasons, but just out of these verses. Verse 3, he says, urge these true companions, help these women who belabor with me in the gospel with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose name, here's a reason to be thankful, here's a reason to keep on giving thanks, whose names are in the book of life. Paul says, he mentions here the book of life. Some places in the scriptures, it talks about the Lamb's book of life. It's the same thing, the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. What this ultimately means, what this basically means is that you are saved. You're born again. If your name is in the book of life, if your name is in God's book, if your name is in the Lamb's book of life, you born again. You saved. You are the redeemed of God. So keep on giving thanks because your name is in the book. Keep on giving thanks because your name is in God's book. Keep on giving thanks because you are born again. You are saved. And really, I could save some time and end the sermon right now. I mean, it's reason enough to just keep on giving thanks that I'm saved. Keep on giving thanks because hell has been canceled and heaven is guaranteed. I'm going to keep on giving thanks because I'm no longer in darkness, but now I'm in God's marvelous light. I'm going to keep on giving thanks because I am the redeemed of God. I'm going to keep on giving thanks because I've been chosen even before the foundations of the world. I'm part of the ecclesia, the called out ones, that by God's grace and God's mercy and his grace and mercy alone, I've been born again. That's reason enough to give thanks. That's reason enough. Beloved, that's reason enough to give thanks. So if you're taking notes right now, I'm going to keep on giving thanks because I'm saved. I'm going to keep on giving thanks for my salvation. I'm going to keep on giving thanks that I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. I'm going to keep on giving thanks. And he talks about this book of life. You know, if you go out to eat to like a restaurant where, you know, you might have a little wait or something, those restaurants that do that, and typically, if there's a wait, they would typically write your name down in a book, right? Write down Oak Gwen, party of two. And so they write your name in this book, and eventually after 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever, they call your name. Oak Gwen, party of two. And because your name is in the book, oh, y'all not hearing me. Because your name is in the book, you get to go in and you get to sit down and dine. Now watch this, it's a little tricky. Your name is in the book, that gets you in there to the table, but you still gotta have a little money in your pocket. You still gotta have a little money. But God is not like that. He's already paid the price. Your name is in his book, and one day he's gonna call you, he's gonna call me on home, and watch this, I don't have to pay at the door. He's already paid the price. 2,000 years ago, he's already paid the price on Calvary's cross. He's gonna call us. I'm going to say, Richardson's table of three. Come on up. I'm thankful because my name is in the book. I'm thankful because my name is in the book. I know some people, good people, friends, cousins. We all know them, coworkers, good people whose name is not in the book. We need to pray for them, pray God save them, put their name in the book. So if your name is in the book, if you're saved, if you're born again, I shouldn't have to, run up and down the aisle. I shouldn't have to turn flesh. I shouldn't have to walk the pews or nothing to get you to thank the Lord. If your name is in the book, I say, if your name is in the book, oh, if you're saved, that's reason enough to keep on giving him thanks. Keep on. The Bible said the redeemed of the Lord say so. So if nobody else is saying something, if nobody else is saying nothing, the people of God, we ought to say so. Say, Lord, I'm thankful that I belong to you. Thank you that I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I thank you that I'm born again. So you need to keep on giving thanks because you're saved. That's reason enough to keep on giving thanks. If you got a relationship, Sister Cullen, we got a relationship with God, a relationship with Jesus. That's reason enough to just keep on giving thanks. Second reason right here in verse 4. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then he accents it. He said, again, I will say, your Bible probably has it too. Exclamation mark, rejoice. So you and I can keep on giving thanks. Listen, because listen, you can always rejoice in the Lord. Make sure you don't leave the preposition or phrase off. You can always rejoice, Sister Ingram, in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I can give thanks. I should be giving thanks, Brother Aaron, because I can always rejoice in the Lord, regardless of my circumstances, regardless of my situation, because I'm in the Lord, because he's in me, I can still find some joy. I can still find joy in the midst of sorrows. So you and I need to keep on giving thanks. We need to keep on thanking the Lord, because we can, as the people of God, we can always rejoice in the Lord. Matter of fact, like I said, once again, the Greek here, it's really like a command. So the Lord is telling us to keep on rejoicing in the Lord. This word rejoice means to feel or to show great joy or delight. To feel or show great joy or delight. A few synonyms for rejoice can be like pleasure or gladness or delight or elation or jubilation or celebration. So listen, I can keep on giving thanks because I can not only rejoice in the Lord always, I can celebrate in the Lord always. I can have jubilation always in the Lord. I can have elation always in the Lord. See, the key once again is Jesus the source of your joy? Let me ask that again. Is Jesus the source of your joy? Because see, if anyone or anything else is the source of your joy, you're not going to be able to rejoice always. I said, you're not going to be able to rejoice always if something or someone else is the center of the source of your joy. Because friends can be fickle. Finances can be funny. Your money can be strange. I mean, all kind of stuff can be happening with all these other circumstances. So therefore, your joy might be up and down if your center of your joy is centered in someone else or something else. But if your joy is in the Lord, I say, if your joy is in Jesus, matter of fact, J-O-Y, that's Jesus only, yeah. I mean, if my joy is in Jesus, I'm all right. If my joy is in Jesus, I'm all right. See, if you know Jesus, K-N-O-W, if you know Jesus, you can know some joy. But if you don't know Jesus, N-O, if you know Jesus, no joy. You know, all the world is trying to find joy in all the wrong places. You know, people say, if I get more money, I'm going to be joyful. They get more money, guess what? They still not joyful. If I can just you know, get another promotion, I'm going to have joy. No, they get another promotion after a while. No, that doesn't. Nothing fills our joy tank up like Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can fill up our joy tank. Do I have any witnesses there? So you and I, yeah, giving thanks. You and I should give thanks. Keep on giving thanks because we're born again. Because of our salvation. Keep on giving thanks because as a Christian, you and I can rejoice always in the Lord. Again, I say we can rejoice. Next thing, verse 5, as I hasten on, verse 5 says, let your gentleness be known to all. The Lord is at hand. Some translations say the Lord is near. So you and I can keep on giving thanks. We can keep on thanking our Lord because, if you're taking notes, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. Our Lord, the one I've been preaching about these last few weeks, this all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God, he is near. This God is a God of grace and mercy, God of justice and wrath. This God, he is near. He is near to us, the child of God. He's not only near, he's really, this is a little bit of phraseology, he's really with us. I say he is with us. So I'm going to keep on giving thanks because my Lord, our Lord, is always with us. Paul said it this way, and I often quote this. Paul was in jail one time, and pretty much all his disciple buddies and everybody had scattered. Paul said, none stood with me. But he said, Lord, don't count it to their credit. You know, don't get them for it. But none stood with me, Paul says. He said, none stood with me. Then he called himself almost in mid-sentence as he was writing. The Holy Spirit had him write. He said, wait a minute, none stood with me. But wait a minute, the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me. Jesus was on my side. Peter might have left and other guys might have left, but Jesus was still on my side. Isn't it good to know as a child of God, the Lord will never, he said it, he will never leave us nor forsake us. And for that reason, you and I need to keep on giving thanks. We need to keep on giving thanks because the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. Ah, Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. So you and I should keep on giving thanks because the Lord is near. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. The Holy Spirit with the psalmist said, he said, I cried out unto the Lord and the Lord heard me and answered my cry and delivered me out of all my troubles, delivered me out of all my fears. Yeah, I'm extremely thankful that our God is always near, that Jesus is always near. He is with us. He is with us. So saints, we ought to keep on giving thanks. We don't stop on the fourth Thursday of November. We keep on giving thanks. I say we keep on giving thanks. You know, we probably, many of us probably missed an opportunity today to thank him. I don't know about you all, but I guess this week, since I've been looking at this text for the last few days, and even, you know, you missed opportunity to thank the Lord. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but probably this morning, you know, some of us in here this morning, when we got up, when our eyes opened, some of us in here this morning probably guilty didn't say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. I'm not confused. It wasn't the alarm clock. Now we probably took for granted when I got out of bed this morning, I didn't think about it and say, oh, can I walk? I got out of bed and I was able to walk. I should have been saying, thank you, Lord, I can walk. And as I get older, I don't jump up as fast as I used to. Now I kind of take my time and take a little few extra minutes to kind of get it together there, Sister Johnson. Then I can step on out. But I'm still thankful that I can get up and move around. And thank you, Lord. I was able to go into my little bathroom and run a little water and put a little, you know, wash my face. And I wear contacts. I thank you, Lord. I can put in these little contacts in my eye where I can see a little better. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I can go downstairs and make me a little coffee and open up the Bible and read the Bible and spend a little time with the Lord. I ought to be saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that it came breakfast and I could put a little food on the table, had a little something to eat. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I was able to get dressed on my own. Thank you, Lord, that I was able to get into a little car and make it on over to the house of worship this morning. Thank you, Lord, that I can do these things that we often take for granted. I ought to be saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. As I told you all last week, my aunt, 76-year-old Auntie Ruth, she went to sleep and she didn't really wake up completely. You know, she was in a coma. We don't know what's going to happen to us. So when God blesses us with reasonable health and strength, when God blesses us with these things that we can take for granted, you and I ought to be saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. It should be just like, just like you breathe in, you ought to say, thank you, Lord, I can breathe. Thank you, Lord, I can bring in oxygen and send out carbon dioxide. Some people have these, I saw somebody just said, some people have these little breathing apparatus, you know, this little oxygen that go with them. I mean, we have so much to be thankful for, saints. I'm going to press that a little harder. Let me say that again. We have so much to be thankful of. So thank God for your salvation. Thank God that you can rejoice always in the Lord. Thank God that the Lord is near. Two more verses. Verse 6 and 7 and I'm through. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. I just don't read that too fast. Be anxious for nothing. Is that what your Bible says? If your Bible don't say that or something close to that, I give you permission to maybe get you another translation. You might need to throw that one away. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything. Everything, right? Not some things, but in everything. By prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God. And the peace of, I just like saying that. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through or in Christ Jesus. Here's another reason, just from these little few verses, why you and I should keep on giving thanks, keep on thanking our Lord. You nor I, we don't have to be anxious for anything. Let me say that again. As a Christian, you and I know oftentimes we are, but we do not have to be anxious for anything. We don't have to be, if you're taking notes, you want to write that down. We don't have to, we don't have to be anxious for anything. I hear somebody already thinking it. I hear what you're saying. Well, Pastor, you don't know my situation. No, you're right. I don't know your situation, but I do know our God. So I do know our God. And there have been some people, and you probably in that number. I'm in that number who've been in some situations, but our God, his track record is impeccable. Matter of fact, he's never lost a case. He's never not come through. He's always delivered. If I just took a little time, I can take this microphone and go around the congregation and let you all testify. But let me just get a few Bible, a few biblical people who are going to testify for us this morning. I'm going to give you a few familiar ones. We know these. Especially if I got some Bible readers in the house this morning. If I just ask Brother Daniel, I'm talking about the Lord is near and you don't have to be anxious for anything. Just ask Brother Daniel, who got thrown into a lion's den. And the lions were hungry too. And you know, but God showed up and God made that lion kind of like a pillow and a comforter for Brother Daniel. I think Daniel would say, you don't have to be anxious for anything. If you could ask the three Hebrew boys who were thrown into a fiery furnace. The fiery furnace was so hot that the people that threw them in there, they got burned up. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ himself, the one who is near, Jesus himself came down into the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the Bible said they were walking around having a little conversation. And when those brothers came out of the fiery furnace, they didn't even smell like smoke. Oh, y'all not hearing me. Now, some of y'all used to go to the nightclub, and you know, you come out of there smelling like smoke. They didn't even smell like smoke. They didn't even smell like smoke. Our God, he is near. We don't have to be anxious for anything. I think if you ask Paul and Silas, they were thrown into the Philippian jail. We're in the book of Philippians right this morning. They were thrown into the Philippian jail and they were in jail. Might would have, could have lost their life. Might would have been beheaded, Sister Consuela. But the Bible says about midnight, I don't think Paul and Silas were too stressed out. About midnight, they were singing and praising the Lord and worshiping God at midnight. And at midnight, the Bible says God sent an earthquake. See, y'all thought Elvis Presley was the first jailhouse rock. God would sit the jailhouse rock and the doors came open and the Philippian jailer was going to kill himself. But Paul said, no, do yourself no harm. We're still here. And then they went to this brother's house, the Philippian jailer, and God, through Paul, saved the Philippian jailer. Not only him, but the whole household. I'm telling you, you don't have to be anxious for anything. They were in jail and they weren't anxious. Peter was in jail one time and saints were praying for Peter and God sent an angel down to the jailhouse and opened up, and let Peter on out. Peter thought he was dreaming and just finally when he got outside, I said, well, I guess I'm not dreaming. I am outside. I mean, you don't have to be anxious for anything. There has some Bible readers. There was a woman who had an issue of blood. She had spent up all her money, about 12 years, spent up all of her money. She said, but if I could just get to the hem of his garment, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, and she touched our Lord and Savior, Jesus. He's a Savior that you and I can touch. She touched our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, who touched me? They said, well, Lord, all these people around you, what do you mean? No, he said, somebody touched me. And here this lady touched him and she was healed. She was made whole. I'm telling you, saints, you and I don't have to be anxious. We can be thankful. We need to be thankful because we don't have to be anxious for anything. The list is long, but when Jesus walked planet earth, I mean, he cleansed lepers. He cast out demons. He even rose people from the dead. So you and I, saints, this same Lord, this same Christ is the Son. He's with us. He's near to us. And so because of that, you and I don't have to, we don't have to be anxious. We don't have to be stressed out. So when you find yourself getting all stressed out and all anxiety, Jesus said it. He said, bring all your anxieties, bring all your cares to me because I care for you. We have a God who cares. We have a God who cares. So keep on giving thanks for your salvation. Keep on giving thanks because you and I can rejoice always in the Lord. You ought to keep on giving thanks to God because the Lord is near. Keep on giving thanks because you don't have to be anxious for anything. Don't be stressed out. Now, oftentimes, you know, during this time of year, December, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, it can be a stressful time for a lot of different reasons. And definitely even those who maybe even lost loved ones during these days. I mean, it could be a stressful time. So as a follower of Christ, you got to remind yourself, wait a minute, why I'm getting so stressed out? Why I'm getting so stressed out? Because I can't get Jaquel a gift. Jaquel might not need a gift. He might not need a gift. So don't get stressed out too much over these days. I mean, keep the main thing the main thing. Keep your heart and mind focused on the Lord. Keep on giving thanks. Here it is again, right in the same verse. You and I can keep on giving thanks because we don't have to be anxious for anything, right? You jot that down, right? Be anxious for nothing. You don't have to be anxious for anything. Don't be stressed out. But also, you and I are to keep on giving thanks because, right there in that verse, listen. You and I, we can pray about anything and everything. I need to be giving thanks because I can pray to God about anything and everything. I can pray to our God about all things. So I need to keep on giving thanks. I need to thank God because he has given me like a blank check. He said, pray to me about all things. Now, God could be the type of God who said, just pray to me on Monday and, you know, a couple of days a week, or just pray to me about, no. But God says, pray to me about everything. That's a reason to be thankful. I'm kind of slow in getting it because sometimes I'm just give you a regular basic task. I might be going out, I know it's not grass cutting time of year now, but sometimes I go out and I got this little temperamental lawnmower and I be out there trying to start that thing, Brother Michael, and trying to start it and trying to, this doesn't always happen like that, but I'm trying to start it and I ain't prayed about nothing. I ain't even prayed about God, give me enough strength to cut this yard. I ain't prayed about none of that. I know y'all pray about all that stuff for y'all, I do it. But I'm trying to start that mower and I get frustrated, and rather than almost letting something slip out that I shouldn't let slip out or something, it hits me. I ain't prayed about it. And maybe y'all don't do this, but I'm learning. I said, Lord, help this lawnmower to start. Now, I'm not going to tell you it does it every time, but majority of the time, it seems like when I finally say, Lord, help this lawnmower to start, it starts right up. Oh, y'all not hearing me. I know what the regular person will say, oh, that's just coincidence, that's just luck. No, I said, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. if he can make a world, he can make a little lawnmower start. Pray about everything. I'm glad I got a God that it's not like you be thinking maybe you're getting on the Lord's nerve, you ask him, but no, God says, bring everything to me. Pray about it. Isn't that what the Bible says? I'm not eisegeting this Deacon Bees. I'm not putting it in there. It's in there. It says, pray about everything. Does your Bible say pray about everything? Last time I checked, I hadn't looked this up in Greek lately though, but last time I checked, everything meant everything. Pray about everything. That's a reason to be thankful. Are y'all getting this morning? That's a reason to be thankful that I can pray about everything. We Tanya and I, we was taking Ariana back to, we're gonna fly her into Chattanooga the next time. You know, you save a little money going to Atlanta, but after all this chaos and traffic and, you know, that thing can be kind of stressful. You know, we're running a little late and Ariana, we love her to death, but she laid back, she's a little slow getting ready. I'm like, man, but it, long story short, and we already running a little late on time, and I got down around Calhoun. It was been a bad, you know, I hope no one was killed, and it was a tremendous accident on the interstate. Interstate on I-75 comes to like 0 miles per hour. And you know, I'm just talking about Christianity is a practical thing. In the flesh, it's easy to get anxious and stressed out. Say, oh, she's going to miss her flight, and we don't know when the next flight, she's flying out to Phoenix or Arizona. We don't know when, we're going to drive her all the way out there. No, I didn't think that. That was just the comic relief. I didn't think that. But long story short, we rerouted and got off and got back on. And it was kind of tight. And we were going to park and all of us going to go in and kumbaya and love you and all that. But no, I had to drop Tanya and Ariana off at the thing. Y'all get in there fast as you can. I circle around a couple of times. We don't have time to park or nothing. Long story short, that was kind of a little stressful there, but as I'm trying to think and trying to live this out, I'm saying, Lord, you know, help this to work out all right. And guess what? God's grace, God's mercy, even though we should have been late, God worked it out. She got there just in time. They board a flight, and they even said, well, we might can't get a luggage on the plane, you know, since you're here so late. Guess what? They got a luggage on the plane. I'm learning how to not to be anxious for stuff like that. I'm learning, so God, you got this under control. It was our bad. We left too late, but you can make up the difference. So be anxious for nothing, saints. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, because you can pray about everything. And in this verse also, as I hasten on, we're told from this verse how to pray. Sister Pat, how to pray. He talks about supplication. This word supplication in verse 6 simply means to make an humble entreaty. To make a humble entreaty, to ask earnestly. So God is telling us, he says pray about everything, right? And then he mentions supplication, which really means to ask. And then later on in that verse, he even says, let your requests be made known, right? So it's okay. Let me say this. We all probably know this. It's okay when you're praying to ask God for stuff. Especially for your needs to be met. Let me say that again. Cause sometimes with this prosperity gospel, you know, they're way out there naming and claiming all that. And I think sometimes we as who try to read the Bible and live the way the Lord really wants to live, run too far away. God said, ask me what you need. If you need food, if you run a little short on food, ask for some food. Clothes, shelter, ask for your needs to be met. Matter of fact, the Lord said, delight yourself in him. That's the key. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So it's okay to ask God for stuff. Now we shouldn't just stay there. Now, most of the time we just stay there. You know, we had this long laundry list, and we just ask God for stuff and just ask. So that's balancing. But it's okay to ask God to meet your needs. Anybody there? Also, saints, you and I can be thankful that as we pray, don't just ask for your needs to be met. Intercede and pray for others. Pray for others, you know, friends, family members, co-workers. Pray for those other Christians, but also pray for those that you know are far from the Lord, that don't even know the Lord. It's a blessing. You and I should be thankful that I can get to pray for others. I'm thankful that people prayed for me. People still pray for me, but I'm definitely thankful for people prayed for me when I didn't have sense enough to pray for myself. When you were raising these kids and we send them off and you send them wherever, and then maybe even when they go off to college or wherever they might be going or go to some little function, pray for your kids. It's good to know that we can pray for others. Pray for your neighbor. It's good to know that we can pray for one another. Be thankful that you can pray for others. So when you're praying, that's one of the reasons I mentioned about praying for these international missionaries. Pray for people in other parts of the world. Pray for people way over in India or in Africa or wherever. We can pray for one another. And guess what? We see right there in the verse, God says he listens to our prayers. I said, God said he listens to our prayers. So be thankful that God listens to our prayers. So you and I can pray about everything. Pray about all things. And then watch though too. When we're praying, he says in verse 6, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Here's a good homework exercise. This is good to do from time to time. I haven't done it in a while myself, but this is good to do. Just get out a blank sheet of paper. And the young docs, the young disciples of Christ, and our brother Jeffrey teaches on Wednesday night. Those of you who like climbing steps, y'all may just want to go up and look in their room. They listed about 30 or 40 things on Tuesday night when we met that they are thankful for. And these are young men in middle school and high school. They did a good job. Just make a list sometime of things. Just make a list to start thinking and praying. Make a list of things that you are thankful for. You and I, we would thank God for salvation. Thank God for health and strength. Thank God for your spouse. Thank God for your kids. Thank God for your parents. Thank God for your job. I mean, just make a list. Thank God that you got reasonable health and strength. Thank God that you transported. You got here this morning. It might even been on a church bus, but you got here this morning. Thank God for transportation. All of us got so much to be thankful for. And I just want to remind us, keep on thanking the Lord. Keep on thanking the Lord. Don't let this little fourth Thursday of November act like it's a period for the Christian. It shouldn't even be a comma, but if anything, maybe a comma, but not a period. I said, not a period. Not like we're going to wait until next November, fourth Thursday, next November. I'm going to get some more Thanksgiving, Raven, next November. No, today is the day to give some thanks. Every day is a day of Thanksgiving. Every day is a day of Thanksgiving. Not only that, saints, we're going to keep on giving thanks for your salvation. We're going to keep on giving thanks because we can rejoice always in the Lord. Keep on giving thanks because our Lord, our God is near. Keep on giving thanks because you don't have to be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you can let your request be made known to God. Keep on giving thanks because, look, you and I can pray about everything. Then number seven, verse seven, number six, I'm almost through. 16 says, after we're praying, right? See, you know, we should be praying daily, right? So if you're praying daily, you should be giving thanks daily. Always let Thanksgiving be a part of your prayer life. Always let Thanksgiving be a part of your prayer life. Y'all remember that acronym I talk about from time to time? Either ACTS or CATS, C-A-T-S. You know, when you're praying, confess your sins to the Lord. A, adoration, adore the Lord in your prayer life. The Bible can help you with that as well. But also T in CATS is Thanksgiving, always giving some thanks. And then the S is supplication, letting your request be made known to God. But always giving some thanks. Then as we're praying and thanking the Lord and letting our requests be made known to him, look at what verse 7 says. It says, and the peace of God, and the peace of God, which surpasses, goes far beyond all understanding. One translation says, goes well beyond human comprehension. The peace of God. It's going to guard. Look at what it does. The peace of God should guard, saints, your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So you and I need to keep on giving thanks. Here it is. Here it is. Because we have the peace of God available. You and I ought to keep on giving thanks because we have the peace of God available. We have the peace of God available. That's a reason to give thanks. Last time I checked out and last time I checked some of the medical records and the pharmaceutical sales and all that, they got all kind of medicine. Now, some medicines are needed, don't get me wrong, but they got all kind of medicine supposed to help you with anxiety and stress because these people. But we, you know, if we really tap into this, we can put some of these medical companies out of business. The peace of God is available. We have the peace of God. It's available. Now, listen, make sure you don't miss this. You can't have the peace of God until you first have peace with God. Let me say that again. You cannot have the peace of God until you first have peace with God. So your next question should be, well, how do I get this peace with God? I'm glad you asked. Romans 5:1 says it this way. Write that down and read it later. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified, declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's salvation 101. That's soteriology 101. You can only have peace with God. It's only one clear way. And I've been listening to these little troubling, really, podcasts lately of different quote-unquote preachers and theologians and a lot of them, you know, they educated beyond their own good and they start saying all this stuff. And, you know, some of them I've been listening to lately as if, and I believe it because a lot of these seminaries, unfortunately, are getting off track. And it's almost as if they think there's other ways to God. I'm like, man, I ain't got to go to seminary to figure that one out. There's only one way to God. I'm going to stick with just what Jesus said in 40. I'm not going to, well, when he said, I am the truth, what kind of truth did he say? No, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get so smart, we dumb, you know. So there's only one way, saints, to have peace with God. That's only through Jesus Christ. You'll never hear anything else come from this pulpit. There's only one way to have peace with God. There's only one way to have peace with God, and it's through Jesus Christ. He didn't come down a cross just because of other options. So foolish. So foolish. I'm about to ask him like Paul asked the Galatians. Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? You know, he's talking about other things you have to do to be saved, you got to be circumcised, you got to do this. Paul said, well, yeah, I didn't learn that from the Bible. Yeah, I didn't learn that from me. So I'd be almost telling you sometimes, what are you listening to? I'd almost start screaming at some of these little talks. What are y'all saying on that? I mean, if some of these people are preachers and some of them teach at seminary, I'm like, man, what are y'all saying? But it's good to kind of be and know what's out there, what type of ideology and thoughts are out there. But I'm telling you, again, the only way to have peace with God, Sister Kiara, is through Jesus Christ. It was that way. It's been that way since Genesis. It's going to always be that way. So don't let anybody sway you other ways. I'm like, well, there are other ways too. No. There's a way that seems right. There's other ways that seem right. Sure, if I do a lot of good works and do all this and all that, won't that be good enough? No, that ain't. Christ is the only one. Saints, you and I can keep on giving thanks because once again, if you got peace with God, if you're born again, if you're saved, you can have the peace of God. So if your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, your name is in this Book of Life that we read about in verse 3, if you're the redeemed of God, you got peace with God. And so also now as a Christian, we have available to us the peace of God. You know, this peace which surpasses all human understanding. This peace that just far baffles our mind. In this verse 7, this word guard, it says the peace of God, it will guard your heart. This word guard here is a military term. The imagery is like some soldiers who are guarding, say, maybe some land or a building or maybe guarding a person. They're making sure nothing happens to that property or nothing happens to that person. They're guarding that person, right? So for the Christian saints, the peace of God should guard our hearts and minds in such a way that you and I won't be getting all stressed out. You and I won't be all in a tizzy over every little thing. That you and I have a certain peace that really baffles even ourselves. Wait a minute, why do I have such peace? Well, it's the peace of God that's guarding our hearts. So you can have peace, saints, even when you go and that medical report may not be quite right. You can still have the peace of God. You know, just last week for our body here, Sister Roxy, and talking with her, Gerald, her husband, it wasn't looking so good on Monday and Tuesday, but I could tell she had a certain peace about herself. And a day or two later, he got better, and she's like, yeah, I'm feeling a lot better now. We can have the peace of God. When I got the news about my aunt and talking with my mother, who that's her sister, my mother said, well, we know God knows best. You can have the peace of God because you know that God is in control of all things. So his peace can guard your heart and mind. So even check this out. Even if your company might be downsizing or outsourcing and right side, I know TVA used to do that a lot when I was there. You can still have the peace of God. You can be like, okay, if they eliminate my position, guess what? God gave me that position in the first place. Wait a minute. We got to get historical, not hysterical, but historical. Wait a minute. God was the one who gave me that job in the first place. And guess what? He can give me another job. He can give me a job. He might even give me a better job. We can have the peace of God, the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding. The peace of God, the peace of God. And when things look chaotic all around us and things might be chaotic, we can still have the peace of God. That's a reason to be thankful right there, that we can have the peace of God, that we have the peace of God available to us. Matter of fact, Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That sounds like peace to me. Jesus said, just come to me. You're weary, you're heavy laden, you're getting stressed out. Just come to me, and I'll give you rest. Matter of fact, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We read it earlier, Isaiah 9:6. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Now watch this. Jesus, he doesn't simply give us peace, but he is peace. Let me say that again. It's a little different. Catch that. He not only gives us peace, he is peace. So if you got Jesus, or better yet, if he got you, if he has you, you can know his peace. You can K-N-O-W, his peace. So if you know Jesus, you can know peace. Because he's the Prince of Peace. But if N-O Jesus, guess what? No peace. But if you know Jesus, you know peace. So let his peace guard your hearts. So keep on giving thanks, saints. Keep on giving thanks. I just stopped by here on my way to heaven to tell you, after Thursday, the fourth Thursday in November, we can still keep on giving thanks. And just out of these four verses, here, to recap, these four verses, keep on giving thanks because I'm saved, I'm born again. I'm going to keep on giving thanks because I belong to the King. I can keep on giving thanks because when I die, and one day I will die, unless the rapture happens, I can keep on giving thanks because I know I have a home in heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you will be there also. So you and I can keep on giving thanks because we have a relationship with God, a relationship with Jesus. You and I can keep on giving thanks because I can rejoice. You can can rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice in spite of the circumstance, in spite of the situation. You can rejoice in the Lord. That's a reason to keep on giving thanks. You can keep on giving thanks because the Lord is near. Now, you know when you was in that situation, it might have been a financial situation, it might have been a medical situation, but God himself came, Jesus himself came and rescued you out of that situation. So you can give thanks because the Lord is always near. You can keep on giving thanks because we don't have to be anxious for anything. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, we can keep on giving thanks because we can pray about everything. I said we can pray about everything. We can pray about everything. Thank him for everything, but pray about everything. You can be thankful and keep on giving thanks because the peace of God. The peace of God. The peace of God. Which surpasses all human comprehension. All human understanding, even our own understanding oftentimes, we can keep on giving thanks because we have that type of peace that's available to us. Peace in the midst of a storm. Jesus said, of course, when he was on that boat that time in a literal storm, the storm came up. You all know the account. And they were stressed out. They were trying to handle the storm on their own initially, which we often do. We try to, oh, I got this one. I can handle this on my own. They, you know, several of them are expert fishermen. They probably seen many storms before. They're like, hey, we can handle this. But they couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle it. How often in your life and in my life stuff comes up that we just can't handle? We might try to handle it on our own, try our own little techniques and resources, but finally we do like Peter. Peter said, wait a minute, Jesus is on the ship. Wait a minute. And they went down to the beneath in the bottom of the ship, and you all know, I got some Bible readers in the house. They woke up Jesus. I'm just talking about reason that you and I can keep on giving thanks because he can give us peace even in the midst of a storm. They woke up Jesus, and Jesus went up to the bill of the ship and looked out at the winds and the waves and the storms acting a fool. And Jesus said one word, well, three words, peace, be still. Oh, y'all not hearing me. Jesus said, peace, be still. And the Bible said the winds and the waves, I'm sure that I could hear them. I could hear, if I was a wind and a wave, I could hear them talking to themselves right now. Wait a minute. Hold on. We acting a fool here. We hear our creator talking. I hear our master talking. We gotta be still. We gotta be calm. I mean, Jesus has a way. He can calm our storm. But watch this. Sometimes he doesn't even calm our storms, but he can still give us peace in the midst of a raging storm. And so for that reason, you ought to thank him. For that reason, you ought to thank him. He can give us peace even in the midst of a raging storm. So give him thanks this morning. I'm through. Give him some thanks this morning. Thank him for your salvation. Thank you that you can always rejoice in the Lord. Thank him that the Lord is near. Thank him that you can pray about everything. Thank him that you don't have to be anxious for anything. Thank him that you can always, his peace is available. We don't always lean on it, but his peace is always available. The peace of God. It guards our heart. So be thankful. This is out of these four verses. Just some reasons to be thankful. Father, we are thankful today. We thank you, dear God, for salvation. We thank you that we can rejoice in you, dear Lord. We thank you that you are near. We thank you that we don't have to be anxious. We are sometimes, but we don't have to be anxious for anything. And dear God, thank you for reminding us from Philippians 4 that we can pray to you about everything.